You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. USDA released its WASDE and crop production and grain stocks reports this morning at 11 o'clock Central Time. Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, is here to go through those numbers. Let's start with those that you think are most important. What did the trade not expect, and what did you find of most interest, Daryl?
You know, I think that probably the most interesting number was the December 1 stocks of corn at 8.03 billion bushels. Almost 200 million bushels less than the market expected on average, even though the production number was raised by 55 million bushels. The market was looking for a 100 million bushel cut, so you would have thought perhaps the stocks number was going to be bigger than the market expected. It turned out to be smaller, which implies we're feeding corn at a very rapid pace, much faster than the market had expected going into this report. And as a result, the USDA did raise its forecast for the year by 200 or 300 million bushels for total feed and residual use of corn. I guess the surprising thing, you know, is why the market didn't anticipate seeing this high rate of feed use of corn when animal numbers all fall have been pointing that way. Somehow the market had convinced itself that feed use had been cut and or had lost track that a fair amount of new crop corn had already been fed during the summer months and would show up as disappearance in the December stocks number, and it in fact did. So I think it verifies that we are feeding a lot of corn, and was a shock to the market. So we saw corn prices trading lower going into the report and then make a U-turn sharply higher after the report.
When you put this number, the 802, from the grain stocks report, a million bushels that is, on hand as of December 1st, into context of the marketing year, we finish out with a very, very small ending stocks number.
We do. The USDA has that projected right at 600 million bushels and just over 5% of projected consumption. And I think for the most part, 5% of consumption is pipeline supplies. So they are projecting stocks at pretty low levels, and that's with exports at a 43-year low of 950 million bushels. So if that market should heat up a little bit, and or we find out in March that we're still feeding corn at a pretty fast pace, then it says the rationing job that we thought was done is not quite complete yet. So I think taken together, this report should put some support under old crop corn prices into the spring of the year.
Into the spring of the year, but in the commentary from the United States Department of Agriculture, it pushed it a bit further than that, suggesting that old crop prices could stay strong right through the summer months, and also did not change the national average cash grain price for the marketing year.
They did not change it, and I think it's probably too high at this point. We, through the first 4 months of the marketing year, we've averaged less than $7 a bushel. So to average the midpoint of their projection of 740 for the year means that we have to see substantial strength in old crop corn prices going forward, with probably well more than half of the crop already sold. So I don't see any way we average 740 for the year. I think $7 is probably what we're going to average. And as we get into the summer, yes, old crop stocks are going to be tight, but my guess is we're going to be staring at a very large 2013 harvest by then, and that's probably going to override to some extent the tightness in old crop stocks, and we'll start seeing some weakness in corn prices come June, July.
Do you suggest that this should hold the price of old crop corn, maybe new crop corn, at much higher levels through the February crop insurance setting month, and that will be one of the reasons that the planters roll in the fields once we get to the spring for corn planting?
Yes, I'm not convinced the new crop corn is going to see much strength. We didn't see any follow-through in this report, and there's no reason it would, that there's no new information relative to new crop at this point. I think there's some risk that new crop corn prices continue to lose ground to old crop. Yes, I think the spring insurance price guarantee is going to be probably at least as high as it was last year at 568. We're well above that right at the moment. Will that be enough to increase corn acres? I don't think so. I think what we saw in today's report, USDA did raise planted acres numbers for last year a bit. I think we'll do well to hold those numbers. And frankly, I don't think we need any more corn acres for next year. We're probably going to be looking at a huge surplus of corn by fall of the year, and much lower corn prices. And an increase in acreage, I think, would add to that downward movement in prices.
They raised the planted acreage to what, 97, just a bit over 97
million acres? Just a bit over 97. And they did lower the
harvested acres,
which we all expected. So the net was, we lost about a half a million acres, if you will. If planted acres had not changed, we would have lost about a half a million acres of harvested. But so what we have to recognize, if planted acres stay the same next year as this year, you know, we'll pick up 2.5 million acres of corn harvested over what we harvested this year because of a lot less abandoned acres. And with anything close to a trend yield, we're looking at a 14.5 billion bushel corn crop next year.
That would be right at 90 million acres harvested next fall.
Yes, it would. And of course, there's some concern about yield at this point with the dry weather, particularly in the western part of the U.S., western corn belt into the plain states. But it's still, I think there's still time for that to change. And certainly we know from our experience this past year, it's really not the soil moisture condition going into planting that matters. It's what happens during the summer months. So there's a lot of different scenarios that can unfold for new crop corn. You kind of have to decide what makes the most sense and base your expectations on that at this point, and recognize that those expectations may have to change as you go into the late spring and summer. But right now, I think expecting a very large crop next year is probably the most prudent thing to do.
Those producers that have a bit more than gambling stocks of corn left, old crop that is, okay just to hang on to it at this time, or should they market?
You know, I don't think there's a lot of downside risk in old crop corn, and so you might argue to hold on to it, but at the same time, I don't see prices going back to the $8 level that we had late summer, early fall.
Turn your attention to the numbers released by USDA for soybeans.
You know, soybeans are very interesting. The USDA did raise the size of the last year's harvest by about 40 million bushels, but December 1 stocks came in about as I expected. They were within 5 million bushels of the number that I had penciled in, which on the surface says that mystery category of seed, feed, and residual use of soybeans was quite large during the first quarter. So stocks were about as they should have been, even though the production number got bigger. And USDA offset most of that larger crop with an increase in expected crush of soybeans during the year, and only raised year-ending stock number by 5 million bushels. So I thought, taken together, knowing that the market expected a bigger production number in this report, that this was a kind of a supportive set of reports for soybeans. Not much change in the size of the South American crop, slightly larger in Brazil, a little bit smaller in Argentina. So I think kind of a neutral set of reports for soybeans released today.
Did they do very much with the export number? Nothing at all, right?
No, they didn't change the export number.
Did that surprise you?
Well, again, it's a case of arithmetic here where we've only got so many soybeans to use, and we can only take our ending stock so low, and so have not raised the soybean export projection, even though those numbers to date are very large. The expectation continues to be that that export program will dwindle very, very rapidly as South American supplies become available.
Interestingly, they lowered the national average cash price by 5 cents on both ends.
On both ends, and I think that's in recognition, again, that when you look at the average price received for the first 4 months of the marketing year on soybeans, it's just only a bit over $14 a bushel. And so I think in recognition that so much of the crop has already been sold, that it's going to be hard to get a much higher average price for the year based on what's left to sell.
But it would be pretty easy to get a much lower price on an individual sale, I would think.
On an individual sale, that's exactly right. But when you're looking at the average price received by all farmers, I think what the data tell us, that when you look at the average price received by farmers in September, October, and November for both corn and soybeans, that average price was well below what the spot market was offering during that period, which says that farmers were delivering a lot of product that they had priced earlier at much lower prices. So that data gets fed into calculating the average price for the year, and that's what's going to keep it relatively modest.
Will farmers be burned again in the coming year if they are willing to sell their crop up front for 2013 season?
You know, I think there's still opportunity to do some marketing on new crop corn and soybeans. The thing that makes it dicey is the timing relative to setting crop insurance prices. We've basically got 6 weeks, 7 weeks to go here to get that price set. And so it's really saying, how much of my crop do I want to price, not yet knowing what my guarantee will be on insurance. But I think there's probably a motivation to sell some of next year's crop in excess of what you think you will have covered by insurance.
Anything in the global stocks, corn, soybeans, wheat, that you found of great interest?
You know, not really much surprising on a global basis in this report. I think as we move through the calendar year, those numbers will become more important.
Brazil, and I don't suppose, given the amount of harvested soybeans that came out of the United States, will be the world's number one producer of soybeans once and if they bring in a decent crop this year.
It looks like they'll be very close to number one. We may retake that position next year, but for this marketing year, it looks like they will outproduce the U.S.
Thank you so much, Darrell.
Thank you.
Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.